Good morning again.
Good morning.
Glad all of you are here this morning. I'm glad we could be together. We can gather in this place and worship our Lord and Savior. There's many places around the world that cannot do this. We praise God for our freedom in this way. We praise God for His holy word. We're going to be back in it today in Hebrews chapter 10, 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, as we're looking at our faith statement, giving thanks for our faith. This will be the end of this. Next week we'll be back into Acts. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Anybody ever know the answer to a question but just don't answer it? Don't want to answer it? In your Sunday school classes? Maybe growing up in school, you know it, but don't speak up, don't want the attention, don't want a chance of being wrong, maybe, if you say it out loud, whatever it is. Maybe it's a task that needs to be done, it takes a certain skill, and you have that skill, but you wait for someone else to volunteer, maybe in your lives, maybe it was over the holidays, something needed to be cooked, and you kind of snuck out of the room instead of going over to the stove. We all have that instinct to some degree of withdrawing instead of stepping up. We all have that in our lives. There are many leaders in this world around us that step up at all costs, but many, if not all of us, have this withdrawal instinct to some degree for something in our lives.
Amen.
Today we look at the church and spiritual gifts. This is our last faith statements. And we're going to see that God requires us to step up to meet challenges, and He prepares us for those challenges in three parts this morning. Have faith, stick together, and we all have gifts. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let's stand together. Verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for Your Son on the cross. Father, be with us now. Guide us, direct us, open our hearts. Help us absorb what You have for us today and apply it to our lives as we leave. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to finish up today our giving thanks for our faith series. We stepped out of Acts, and we took time to go through our faith statements, so we all know them, we all understand them, we've been looking at them, we looked at the Bible, we looked at the Holy Trinity, mankind, salvation, and eternal security. These statements can be found on our website, they can be found in the Baptist Faith, the Message 2000, they can be found in these sermons, which are also online. We finish up today with the church and spiritual gifts, the community given to us by God, and our individual gifts from Him. Now, we've studied the church in some detail in our trip through Acts together. This trip's going to continue next week, but today we're going to focus in on a couple of specific aspects of the church. Let's start with our faith. We always have to begin with our faith. Faith first. Have faith. Our text today says, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. It's important to note here that it says the confession. This means the original confession, what is in the Bible and not what we have turned it into. We have a way of twisting things to fit our own little worlds and what we deem to be important, but this is not what our writer argues for here. The confession is what Paul says in his letters was delivered to him and what he delivers to others. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," who's Peter, "then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to untimely born, he appeared also to me." This is the confession. Jesus is the Messiah who came to live and to die and to defeat death for you and for me, to cover my sins and your sins. This is the case, and it's been verified by many, and it's verified by the Holy Spirit living within all those who have turned from their sins and toward this Savior. This is the confession. And our text says we should hold to it without wavering, and this unwavering of our hope can only be accomplished by this faith, by the Spirit within us. If you hold fast by your own merits, if you hope in your own strength, you will fall short.
Amen.
And it will eventually be revealed that salvation was never yours. It has to be by faith. A gift from God, accomplished by the Son of God on the cross and realized by the Spirit of God within you. This is what we hold on to. If this is where we stand, then we stand on a promise that will never fail us, and this is a must if we're going to be the church. So our priority here is to figure out if this is where we stand. Have you repented? Is he your Savior? Can you feel the Holy Trinity at work in your life? It's not all flashes of light and instant heart changes. Look at your life. Where you were and where you are now. Can you see the hand of God? In your worship, in your relationships, in your prayer life. He is faithful to those who have faith. Do you? With this in mind, let's look at church. Stick together. Many claim this faith we just spoke of. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, right? Many claim this faith, but do not show up to church. Ever. Not just missing occasionally here or there. Things come up in your life, so you have to take care of the things. Not just missing because of some COVID circumstance. We're talking about ever. I think about even the deer hunters when we look at this. Like 3 weeks of their life, it's in the woods, right? Gun season's upon us. I don't care if deer hunters are missing 3 Sundays a year. If they're here for the other 49, right?
Amen.
45, 40. But if those three are added to the 45 you already missed, then where is the priority in your life? Never at church. Can this be supported biblically? Let's look at our text. What we know is there are two types of church mentioned in the Bible, the universal and the local. Which one does our text point to? Both. When we looked at the confession that we hold to be true, when we confess this ourselves, this is your entry into both the universal and local church. Not universal as in all are saved, but universal as in all believers are saved. All believers stand on the same foundation. All believers have the same cornerstone. Jesus said, no matter who you are or what background you have, whoever believes in him has salvation. This is the universal church, and it's who you will worship with forever. Is it enough to be a part of only this church is the question. The answer is no. I would argue that to not be a part of the local body reveals you to not be a part of the body as a whole. What do we mean? Well, first look at your handouts. You've got a little map on there today. It's a map of Paul and his locations he visited, churches he planted. You see some highlighted locations, Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, Rome. They're all on there, Galatia. These are where Paul planted a church. Local communities that he writes to and encourages. When Hebrews was written, the verses we have today we're looking at, when it was written, these locations represented every believer everywhere. That's what this is. Every believer everywhere. You're looking at it on your map. And each individually, the local church. Paul would have never thought someone could be a church member and not be at one of these locations in your hand. Never. I think about what Paul would do with our technology today. What would Paul do with an internet connection from his house arrest? Not having to worry about his letters, or is he going to write them in time? Is he going to have enough time? Are they going to get to the right places at the right times? Just click that screen on and encourage the churches. Lift up the churches. Maybe discipline the churches. Why are you not gathering, would be his words. Our text says this. Stir up one another. Encourage one another. And do not neglect to meet. It also says all the more as the day draws near, which means these things increase as you go along. As we get closer and closer to the day of Christ's return, these things should be increasing in your life. Can you stir up one another without meeting together? Probably yes, but it would be tough, right? Can you encourage one another continually and in increasing fashion without meeting together? Well, some could probably argue for it, but not convincingly. How about do not neglect to meet? Can you meet this statement by not meeting? No. Actually, saying you can be a part of the universal church, meaning you are saved, you're part of the believers, without gathering with the local body, which is commanded by Scripture, it's commanded by the Holy Spirit, the very Holy Spirit you're saved by, putting these two together seems impossible. Amen. At the very least, it's contradictory. That's what we're looking at here. The Bible and its writers assume local church participation. Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, he gained your brother. But if not, take two or three others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to you, then tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. The writers here assume church involvement in the lives of its people. It assumed church discipline. Hard to have church discipline when the person is never among you. Maybe you think online only is enough. This is a fair question in the world we live in today. Is your online presence enough? I think it's fair to assume that hiding your convictions and your sins on the other side of that screen is much easier than in person. The Bible assumes in-person repentance and church discipline. If you want to let the world change the church from within, there may be no better way than to have church members never show up and church discipline to never be a thing. Removing these two things means the Bible is no longer your standard. The world you surround yourself with is your standard, and this standard will fail you in the end. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. That's a sobering statement to read as a pastor. They're keeping watch over your souls because they will have to give an account. This is similar to the first, hard to obey and submit to a person or a body that never sees you. Remember last week, Jesus as our shepherd. That's what we looked at. God set it up where there are many shepherds or pastors overseeing many separate flocks, but you cannot be shepherded if you're not with the flock. Does the shepherd need to come find you, or are you not a part of the flock? Which is it? Ephesians 5, verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, singing to one another and to the Lord, giving thanks together, submitting together. Do you see the pattern? None of these things allow for you to be on your own. Even in an online capacity, lifting your voices up together to worship the Lord together and to strengthen one another is almost impossible. You know the difference of being surrounded by people singing with joy in their hearts and sitting on your couch. You just know the difference. When I think of this, I think about being called the body of Christ and His bride. I've said this before, but maybe you should try to be married in an online capacity only. How well would that work out? How long before you find out that you're not really married anymore? It's the same with Jesus and His bride. His bride gathers with Him. There may be no more important question to answer in your life as it serves to reveal your salvation. Are you a member of the body of Christ? Amen. This every believer everywhere. How can you tell? You have a local church body you lean into. A place where you serve and you grow. A place where you are encouraged and supported and held accountable. You cannot separate the two. Cannot claim one without the other. Many try, as they walk through this life, unaccountable for their actions or their sins. Walk through this life claiming Jesus as their shepherd without ever allowing themselves to be shepherded. If you want to hear the best argument for hearing from Jesus, away from me, I never knew you. We know this verse. People come to Him. We claimed your name, Jesus. We did things in your name, Jesus. Away from me, I never knew you. You want to hear the best argument for that? It's claiming to be a part of the body without ever being with the body. He knows His bride. Does it include you? What does your church involvement or attendance say about you? That's enough about that. I could speak all day. We all have gifts. Let's turn to our spiritual gifts. We've seen what it looks like to be a part of the church. We've looked at it today. We looked at it in Acts repeatedly. We're going to continue to look at it in Acts. How do you know where to be involved in the church? The Holy Spirit. Everyone in this room and online, if a member of the body of Christ, this saved by Jesus, this everywhere, believers everywhere, you have received gifts from the Father. Not only your salvation as a gift, but spiritual gifts from within you. What are these? They are not the fruits of the Spirit. This is often confused. The fruits of the Spirit, everyone must be improving in to some degree. They are the signs that you are being made new. You are being transformed. That's what the fruits of the Spirit are. We know these. Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there are no such law. These are the areas you're growing in if saved. We don't like to think about that. Growing in self-control, growing in peace, kindness. There's also an opposite list of those fruits of the flesh, those things like anger and jealousy. We're not growing in those areas. We're growing in love and gentleness. These are important, but they're not your spiritual gifts. Our text today says stir one another up. It says encourage one another. These are gifts. Some are better in these areas than others. Known spiritual gifts are not a requirement for salvation. Faith in Jesus alone is the requirement, but with faith comes the Spirit, and with the Spirit comes gifts. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. No one is saying you must teach a class or you are not saved, but your gifts are given to you to use for the kingdom. There are many, and listing these is not our focus, but rather seeing that we are called to use them. To live out our faith is to lean in to our Savior and the gifts He gave us for this life. Romans 12, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So whatever gift you possess, and you do have at least one, you can't hide behind, I have no gifts. Everyone has a gift. Whatever they are, whatever you're talented in, whatever you're suited for, there is where your focus is for your church. We have many areas to serve in here. Come see me if you're looking for a place to serve. Not a master of all things. You're not doing all things, church. But you're doing your part in serving in your area. Why? 1 Peter 4:10 says this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The why is to be a good steward. The why is to lead by example. The why is to live out your faith. The why is to glorify your God. The why is to build up and expand His church. The world looks for the self in everything. What is in it for me? We have country club style churches full of people in it for themselves, in it to get something out of it. In order for the church to be the church, our focus cannot be ourselves. It cannot be what we want. But rather our focus must be on serving others. This is the focus. Jesus is our example of a servant's heart, and in order to reach others, we must serve others like him. Do we serve others? Where could we be serving and are not? What holds us back? The church is grown through its members and not the guy in the pulpit on Sunday mornings. I help us through God's word and to focus on the good news of the gospel and to fill in anywhere else I can, but I can't play all the roles in this building and I can't reach all the people in your life.
Amen.
It is up to you. Good news needs to come from you. And serving others needs to be modeled by you. Have faith, join a church, serve others. Which step are you on? Today we have looked at the church as being universal in the aspect of all believers in Jesus being one body, but we also saw that the church is local and independent and gathers together. The same Spirit that draws us together gives us gifts, and we use these gifts to serve others and to glorify God. This is what it means to be the church. Active in your lives as Christians. People can see your Christian walk in your lives and active in this building as servants of the Lord. Our question as we leave is, do we have this Spirit? Are we saved by God? Amen. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, and you will have this Spirit, and you will have gifts to use. This is first. Faith is always first. Then we ask ourselves if we are serving. Are we using our spiritual gifts for God's kingdom and for His church? As we leave today, search your life for salvation. Search your life for where you can be sharing the good news, and search your life for where you can be serving your church. If your heart is heavy, many, many hearts are heavy, bring those things and any other needs to your Father as we sing. Are we being the church we are called to be? And where can it be changed by you? Are we serving where we're called? And where can you impact it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we do have faith statements that come from your scripture that we can lean into. We can say, this is who we are. Help us lean into your holy word and into these statements we claim true. Help us live these things out in our lives. Father, we all know that every believer everywhere is saved. We know that Jesus the Son is the only way, and anyone who focuses on Him is saved. These are our brothers and sisters. We also know we have a local church family. We have many, many people in this building and around us that we can lean into for guidance and comfort and instruction and encouragement. Maybe calling us back to what we need to be. Father, help us realize this. There is a local church that needs us. We have a local mission that's for your glory, to spread your gospel message. We all know what it is, Father. We all claim the Spirit within us, which means we have areas we can serve, and we all have the gospel on our hearts. Help us leave this place today as ones who want to serve, are striving to serve, and help us leave this place today carrying this gospel message. All who hear it and are changed by it are saved. Who needs to hear it from us today? In Jesus' name I pray.